We begin this lesson this morning with the Old Testament character by the name of Jonah. We've heard about Jonah for years. We've heard of certain lessons about Jonah. We've mainly heard when we were kids or whatever about Jonah and the big fish that we called the whale back then. More politically correct, I think, and biblically correct, it was a big fish rather than a whale. But this morning I want us to reconsider the story of Jonah, some biblical lessons from that story and some other scriptures that deal with it. Remember that Jonah was told by God to go to Nineveh. We want to read a few verses. If you have your Old Testament and you can flip around till you find it, it's over there about 1,076 in mine, but that doesn't mean it's anywhere near that number in yours. It's over in there where it gets in those minor prophets, and there's about 12 of them, so just jump right in the middle of those and go one direction and the other, and it'll show up. Unless you've got those memorized. I have had them memorized, and you know how it goes. Some days they're memorized and some days they're not. But the book of Jonah, chapter 1, we find that one approach I've taken over the years as it came my way somehow, that we find Jonah in the first chapter seeking to get away from God. The second chapter, we have him going toward God. The third chapter, we have him with God. In the fourth chapter, we get him ahead of God. So let's look at some verses that would suggest that. The word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for the wickedness has come up before me." Nineveh was not a Jewish city. It was not, these were not God's, quote, chosen people there in the city of Nineveh. It was a Gentile city. Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So Jonah is going away from God. Little does he know that a big storm is coming in his life and that he's going to be thrown overboard. And we read something about that in verse 15 and 16 and 17 of chapter 1 of Jonah. So they took up Jonah, cast him forth in the sea. The sea ceased from her raging, and the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Had a lot of time to cogitate, had a lot of time to meditate, didn't he? Had a lot of time to think. Chapter 2, what's he thinking about? Jonah says, "I think I better pray." Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. Look down at verses 7 through 10. "When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord." I remembered the Lord. "And my prayer came in unto thee, unto thy holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord." A great preacher come from the belly of that fish, wasn't it, in that prayer? "And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land." Jonah is going toward God now, ain't he? Now chapter 3, and sometimes this has to happen to us, doesn't it? The word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, "Arise, go into Nineveh," same message, "great city, preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee." So Jonah arose. He doesn't flee. He arose and went into Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. Jonah began to enter it as a city a day's journey, and he cried and said, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." So the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. So Jonah is finally with God, isn't he? He learned a lesson, a long-lasting lesson, we'll see how far long it lasted. A lasting lesson, one that got the job done that he was supposed to have been doing to start with. So he is with God. Chapter 4. People of Nineveh repented. So Jonah is the preacher. He's going to be exceeding happy, right? It displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. He prayed to the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish. I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me. It's better for me to die than to live. Then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry? Doest thou well to be angry? You know, we can learn a lot of lessons from these four chapters in God's Word. Can't get away from God. I mean, some of us may have tried it. Jonah tried it. He got on a ship, headed in a different direction. I don't know how far along they got. I forget how far along, but it didn't matter, did it? Jonah was going to keep his appointment in Nineveh. God means what he says. Some folks don't think that God means what he says, and so we need to read what he says, and it's in the Bible. I suggest that we study God's Word. God means what He said. We should obey God. I think that's a lesson we can learn from this. The consequences of obeying God are shown. The consequences of not obeying God are shown. Now, despite this, God is long-suffering. He's patient. But His patience doesn't go on forever and forever and forever. But I would like us to focus this morning on a question that God asked Jonah. Jonah 4:4. That question is, doest thou well to be angry? Why was Jonah angry? Think about it. He'd gone into Nineveh. He didn't want to go, you know. As he rehearses afterwards what he had thought earlier, he had evidently been telling God all along, God, you're wrong. You know, I'm not going to go in. He didn't want those people to repent. He didn't like those people. He wasn't going to go to those people. He didn't want them to be God's people and pleasing God, because after all, the children of Israel were God's people, God's chosen people. And it displeased Jonah. Well, you know, I'm pleased when somebody pays attention to what I've said, you know. Oh, I don't know what all he said, but he went a day's journey. This city was 3 days across. This is a pretty good-sized city. That's walking, so that's not near as far as if you're traveling in a car going 3 days. But that was a pretty good city. Probably had walls around it. And he went 3 days inside, 1 day inside the city. And it had a very simple message, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. It doesn't say the people of Nineveh waited till the 39th day either. I don't know how long they waited, but it sounds like that they maybe had decided that today's the day of salvation for us. You know, we've been given an ultimatum. 40 days, all the time God's going to give us. And they repented. God was satisfied. Jonah was not. Jonah was not angry for a good reason. He was angry because the people of God, people of Nineveh, rather, had repented. He went outside the city here in chapter 4. That's what goes on the rest of the time. He went on the east side of the city. Started him the east side church. Went on the east side of the city and there made him a booth and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord helped him. I helped him out there. All he had was this booth. All he had maybe was a little shade from whatever sun would be coming. The Lord God prepared a gourd. Something that would grow up and kind of cover him. And made it come up over Jonah that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. The sun shining down, the winds or whatever. So Jonah was exceeding glad. He rejoiced for the gourd. But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day and it smote the gourd that it withered. So Jonah's going to have these different emotions going through. Came to pass when the sun did rise that God prepared a vehement east wind. Whoa, the sun beat down upon the head of Jonah that he fainted and he wished in himself to die. There he goes again, that death wish. And wished in himself to die and said, it's better for me to die than to live. And God said to Jonah, said, you remember that question I asked you earlier? Doest thou well to be angry? Doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. Then said the Lord, thou hast pity on the gourd for which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came in the night and perished in the night. And then you didn't have any concern for a whole city, human beings. Doest thou well to be angry? God does not condemn us if we bring this down to present day. He doesn't condemn us for being angry, but he does ask the question if we continue in our anger. Jesus became angry. And I found a couple of occasions when he saw the house of prayer being made of a den of thieves. Look at Mark 11, 15 through 17. Mark 11, 15 through 17. They came to Jerusalem. They come to Jerusalem, Jesus and I guess some of his disciples. And Jesus went into the temple, began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, would not suffer that any man should carry out any vessel through the temple. He taught, saying unto them, Is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations a house of prayer, but you made it a den of thieves. That angered Jesus. That upset Jesus. Again, in the book of Mark, and we go to chapter 3 of Mark, and verse 1. And he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. And they watched him, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. He said unto the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. And he saith unto them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath day, or to do evil? To save a life or to kill? But they held their peace. And when he had looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he said unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the others. And then the thought in verse 6, Pharisees went forth straightway, took counsel with the Herodians against it, how they might destroy him. Anger. Anger can serve a cause. Jesus was angry and grieved at their blindness of heart. So anger can serve a cause, but we must be sure that the cause is just. Jesus said this and given a warning in Matthew 5 and verse 22. Matthew 5, 22. But I say unto you, whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger. Notice the word danger in here. If he's angry with his brother without cause, shall be in danger of the judgment. Whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, or vain fellow, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. I noted that the spelling of danger cannot be done without spelling the word anger. Just leave the D off and you got anger. And it's a danger. Three times in this verse, Jesus says, angry with a cause, but beware. There are dangers to anger. The danger of anger, doest thou well to be angry. Sometimes there are sudden explosions when we do not get our way. That was more the case maybe when we were younger. But some don't grow up. And sometimes we get upset, we get angry about things that we have absolutely no control of. Those things you hear on the newscast, for the most part, it's bad news, you know. It just keeps getting worse, seems like, but there's not a thing that I can do about it until I can vote again, maybe. I don't know. Or until I can write a letter, or, you know, if I can do something about it, I need to do something about it. Let that anger be directed in the right direction. With children, we call them temper tantrums, don't we? That was part of Jonah's problem, wasn't it? He didn't just get angry once. And if you look at it, we look at it from our perspective now with having the Word of God before us and having studied it over the years and say, what was Jonah thinking? He wasn't, was he? The time he started thinking, he remembered God. When he started thinking, he remembered prayer. He forgot old Jonah, didn't he? No, he didn't forget old Jonah. Old Jonah was in trouble. And Jonah was in trouble that he couldn't get himself out of. Jonah needed God. Jonah needed God. Jonah had to have God. Doest thou well to be angry, Jonah? This last week, some of you may have watched it on TV, maybe read it in the paper. I don't know if it was in the paper or not. Situation happened out in Goodlettsville. The Conference Drive, right near Rivergate, on whatever that road is, it goes in kind of behind Sears and then goes over to Conference Drive, and you take a left to go on to Goodlettsville. Well, this elderly gentleman, I guess in his 60s, that's not really elderly anymore. That's a middle-aged fellow in his prime. he got behind this fellow that paused too long at the green light. You ever find anybody like that? They stand too long at the green light and you're ready to go. He blew his horn. Best not to, you know, not to blow your horn. I tell Janice, and she's mellowed out a little bit. I don't like the possibility that fellow in front of me has got a gun. You know? and people have shot. Other people for blowing their horn at them. Or being nasty to them in their mind. All right, this older gentleman blew the horn. The fella didn't like it. It was in front of him. Younger fella. Finally, the younger fella got in behind the older gentleman and his wife and rode along with him, made all kind of remarks. I don't know what. Rolled the window down probably and said things to him. The old gentleman's wife were in a truck. They got into Goodlettsville Long Haul Pike, the Conference Drive, and had to stop at a red light. Man got out from his car, the young man did, pulled the older fella out into the street and beat him to a pulp, and then ran over with his vehicle, ran over his leg. Then got out of his vehicle and sat there and mouthed at him. You know, calling him a coward and calling him everything. Road rage. Doest thou well to be angry? That man, when he had that horn, he probably never thought that he would ever be arrested and possibly charged with attempted murder. Because somebody blew the horn at him. That didn't do him very well to be angry, did it? It did him no good at all. Now, we're going to get upset at folks, but the Bible teaches patience. If you missed last Sunday night, you can get it on the web. Eddie can tell you what that website is. Oh, that we've got, we record these lessons on the internet. Most of you won't want to hear it twice, but if you miss something, you might want to tune into it. We talked about things like that over in James chapter 5, where you need to have the patience and endurance like Job did. Like Elijah, he who continually prayed that it would not rain, and then prayed that it would rain, and God answered in both cases. The danger of anger. That man would have been better off if he'd have just took a breath. Take a deep breath. What do the scriptures say about anger elsewhere? Well, a lot of things in the book of Proverbs. I've got 4 or 5 of them down. And I've written them out, so you may want to make a note of the reference. Proverbs 14:17. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly. When we come to Titus chapter 1 and verse 7, one of the qualifications of an elder, not soon angry. And you can see the reason. It's a Christian who has matured. There are situations that are confrontational that have to be dealt with many times. You can't have someone that's soon angry who's a mediator. Proverbs 16, verse 32 says, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. He that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh the city. Being slow to anger. Proverbs 22:24. Make no friendship with an angry man. Don't hang around with folks to get angry about things. You can be their friend 1 minute, and they fly off the handle at you the next. Daddy had a real close friend that got angry one time. He shot at him as his daddy was leaving his place. I don't know what they got angry about, what they fussed about. I didn't feel too safe around that guy from then on. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go. Why? In the very next verse in Proverbs 22, verse 25. Lest thou learn his ways. Lest thou learn his ways. What if you'd been in one of those vehicles out there in Goodlesville? Lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, evil companions corrupt good morals. James 1:19-20, what we studied last week. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Ephesians 4:26-27, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. I looked that up, anger, up in a book that I had at home. And this is what it says in that book. Anger inconsistent with devotion. It's a Bible type book, talking about the reference in Ephesians 4:26. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, we are told, was an old Jewish saying. Its ancient meaning was, let not your anger last till the time of the evening sacrifice, so as to destroy its acceptableness, for no true prayer can be offered in an angry spirit. When the mind is like an angry sea, the light of truth and the reflected face of God upon it will be like the shivered glory of the sun on a million breaking waves. There can be no clear thought. Have you ever been angry and said, you know, I think I'll pray to God about my being angry? No, usually you got to get over it. What about this, not let the sun go down your wrath? Have you had situations where you let the sun go down your wrath and you were angry all night? Tell me, how did you sleep that night? How did you sleep that night? Not very peaceful, was it? So there's more ramifications to this anger situation than just the fact that God says we shouldn't be angry and continuing it. So we need to deal with it, don't we? We need to deal with it. Ephesians 4:31 says, "Let all bitterness, wrath, and anger, and clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." You know, I wondered why all these attitudes are listed together, but if you look at, think about those words, bitterness, anger, yeah, usually in there too. Wrath, yes, anger's in there. And anger and clamor, lust, sometimes anger and then the clamor. Evil speakings about other people, sometimes there's anger in there. Put away, the Bible says, talking to Christians. Put those things away. You know, don't use them. It's just like, you know, you just don't use those things. They're all in the same family. They're close kin. There's a little bit or a whole lot of anger in each one of them. Ephesians 4:31 states that. And then in Ephesians 4:32, note what follows. And be ye kind one to another. Tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Something to think about. Real quick, like some things, some people in the Bible that got angry. What they did when they got angry. What about Cain? Chapter 4. Just right off the bat, the first family. Got angry, didn't he? Got angry because his gift wasn't accepted by God. His anger at his brother and perhaps at God led to him killing his brother. When asked, where's your brother Abel? Am I my brother's keeper? Oh, so pious. I have done nothing wrong. He deserved it. Think back with Jonah. I've done nothing wrong, God. What do you mean, doest thou well to be angry? Am I my brother's keeper? Moses in Numbers 20, verses 1 through 11. People of God were murmuring, clamoring, and saying, God, you know, you got us out here. We had plenty of water back in Egypt. We had plenty to eat. We don't have any water. We're thirsty. God told Moses to go over and have the rock. Moses went and hit the rock, didn't he? Moses, he doesn't come right out and say, but he was angry. He was angry. And God got upset. He was displeased with Moses because of that. And because of that, Moses did not enter the promised land. He was able to look at it from Mount Nebo. Caleb and Joshua went in. Moses, the leader of God's people for all those years. But he did not enter Canaan. How do we control our anger? Well, see what the direct cause is. What's the cause of it and get at the root of it right away. One thing I know over the years that has gotten me upset more than anything, probably than anything else, is taking things too personal. We got football players that quarterbacks and they get traded, or there's a Jay Cutler out there in Denver, there's word that he's going to be traded, and he gets angry. He won't talk to his coach. We need to try to look at the positive thing. People that are optimistic and positive in their thinking live longer than pessimistic people. Surround yourself with optimistic people. Now you might say, well, there's nothing to be optimistic about. Oh, there's always something to be optimistic about. You know, we may have it bad right now in this country, but you know, 8 or 9% of the people unemployed means that 91 or 92% of the people are employed. You know, a lot of times I only heard one person say that over the last several months. I've kind of thought it, but, you know, we need to think of the positive, you know. Count to 10 or 20, that would still work. I mean, it sounds stupid. But just under your breath, just count to 10. Take a deep breath. Back off from the situation. Get a better perspective on the situation. Sometimes when we get all wrapped up in the situation, it's very difficult for us to make them. Read Matthew 18:15, how we're given instructions for handling problems with our fellow Christians. There's a problem there. We're angry with someone. You know, we need to go and work it out with them. We can't work it out. Take somebody else. And it could be a situation for the whole church. In closing, Proverbs 15, verse 1 says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Soft answer turneth away wrath. Always like that person when in a confrontational situation, don't have the voice that I do. They have a softer voice. And what they say, they use softer words. And some folks have more of that than the others. Some of us have to try harder. Some of us have to be more careful about the words we choose. As Christians, let's be part of the solution rather than part of the problem. And as the psalmist spoke of God, he said, for his anger endureth for a moment. Psalm 30, verse 5. Let our anger be but for a moment. And beware of the danger of anger. Again, thinking about the question that God asked Jonah, doest thou well to be angry? Doest thou well to be angry? This morning, if you're here and not a Christian, why not come to Christ today? Why not come to Christ confessing Jesus Christ as the Son of God, willing to repent of your sins based upon the faith that you have in Christ as your Savior, your salvation? Be willing to be baptized for the forgiveness of those sins, that they might be washed away. Acts 2, 37, 38, Acts 22, and verse 10. If you're a Christian, need our prayers this morning, why not come this morning and we'd be glad to pray with you, pray for you. Or if you need to go to a brother or straighten something out, do that today. Do that today. Exhort one another while it's today, the Bible says, the book of Hebrews. If you need to rededicate your life to Christ, get yourself back on the right track, let it be known as we stand and sing the song selected. Shall we stand?